بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم. The forbidden prayer times. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم وآله وصحبه وسلم. May Allah increase us in knowledge and understanding. All praises due to Allah and may peace and blessings be upon Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. We ask Allah Ta'ala to make this halaqa filled with barakah and blessings, inshaAllah Ta'ala, and to accept from all of you and make it enjoyable and beneficial for you in this world and the next, inshaAllah Ta'ala. So alhamdulillah, respected brothers, we have the class on the book Bulugh al-Maram every Friday. It's on the chapter of the Salah, the prayer times. And last week we began the subject of the prayer times, or we had mentioned or spoke about the prayer time for Fajr prayer, and how the majority of ulama, they recommend it be prayed in its early time, and how to know the time for Fajr, and also we had some talk about the Isha prayer. Today let's go to a hadith from the Prophet ﷺ in this chapter on the prayer times. This hadith is relating to the prohibited prayer times. When is it haram to pray? When is it haram to pray? So let's read the hadith, inshallah, together. May Allah make it beneficial for you. وعن أبي سعيد الخدري رضي الله عنه, narrated by Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, may Allah be pleased with him. قال, he said, سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول, I heard the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم say, لا صلاة بعد الصبح. There is no prayer after the Fajr prayer. There is no prayer after the Subh, and another narration, Fajr prayer. حَتَّى تَطْلَعَ الشَّمْسِ, until the sun rises. Until the sun rises. And then he said, وَلَا صَلَاةَ بَعْدَ الْعَصْرِ, and there's no prayer after Asr. حَتَّى تَغِيبَ الشَّمْسِ, until the sun sets. Until the sun sets. This hadith, it is agreed upon by Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim. Those are two narrators of the hadith who authenticated the hadith. So Bukhari and Muslim, they both agreed upon the authenticity of this hadith. This is what agreed upon means. When you read a hadith, sometimes after the hadith it says agreed upon. Agreed upon. So do you know what that means? Agreed upon?
Who? Muslim
and Bukhari. That's right. That's right. The two books of hadith, authentic hadith, Sahih al-Bukhari, which is a chapter, which is a book that Imam al-Bukhari, he authenticated, and he studied, and he scrupulously went through every chain, and every narrator, and every chain, and he collected the hadith that are authentic. He put it in his book. Imam Muslim, he also compiled a series of hadith, and he put it in his book. The only hadith he put in his book are what he considered authentic. So when both of these imams, they agreed on a hadith, then the scholars, they write, they say agreed upon hadith. Meaning that both of these great, great imams of hadith, they agreed upon the authenticity of this hadith. So that means that this particular text that we have, there's no doubt that it has reached us from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This text is an authentic narration coming from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as preserved by those two noble imams. May Allah have mercy on them. So here in this hadith, we find a mentioning of two times that are prohibited to pray. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, let one not pray after the Fajr prayer. And do not pray, or la salah, there's no prayer after the Asr prayer. After the Asr prayer. So here the ulama, they say that these two times are, it is considered makruh to pray during those times. But in fact, there are other times also. And in total, the scholars, they divide them into seven different times. when it is disliked to pray. 7 different times. In this hadith, we heard about 2 of them, but they're actually, they mention 7 different times when it's disliked to pray. So let's try to go through them, and so that we can memorize them, inshallah. The first time where they consider it disliked to pray is after the Adhan of Fajr. When the Adhan of Fajr has been called, it is disliked to pray anything except the Sunnah of Fajr. Everybody's familiar with the Sunnah of Fajr? How many rak'ahs?
2
rak'ahs before the Fajr prayer. That's right, before the Fard. 2 Sunnah before Fajr. So when the Adhan of Fajr is called, it is not appropriate for somebody to stand up and start praying so many nafl prayers. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. This is considered makruh. The only thing he should pray at that time is the Sunnah of Fajr. And that's because the Prophet ﷺ, that's all he prayed at that time. He never prayed other prayers during that time. So it's considered disliked to, if somebody says, as long as I'm waiting for the Imam, let me just keep praying. And over and over and over again, the ulama say yes, that it's not really recommended, it's disliked at that time. Even, the scholars, they said, even if one were in the Masjid Nabawi, and they want to pray during that time to get the blessings of that masjid, which is 1,000 prayers anywhere else in the world, even then they say, that wasn't the habit of the Prophet ﷺ, so it is not recommended to do that. However, if somebody wants to pray, one should pray the 2 nafl, or the 2 sunnah, before the Fajr prayer. Other than that, the praying nafl is considered disliked. Okay, so this is the first time. The first of the times was considered the Prophet ﷺ forbade us to pray. Okay? Is that clear?
No.
Okay. Number 2. We'll go to the second one, inshallah. And number 2 is after finishing the Fajr prayer. After finishing Fajr prayer, the Prophet ﷺ, he forbade praying at that time. Until the sun rises. So that time, Mu'adh, that time after Fajr, should we pray nafl prayers at that time? Extra prayers? No, that's right. The Prophet ﷺ, he forbade praying after the Fajr prayer. The only exception, some of the scholars, they say, is that a person, if they missed the sunnah before Fajr, somebody walked in the masjid and they see that the jamaat, the imam, has already started. So what the correct thing to do in this case is to join the imam right away. And then when the prayer is over and the imam says salam, then a person, if they want, they can make up for what they missed. They could make up the 2 sunnah prayers from before Fajr, for before Fajr. If they want, they can do that after the taslim. This is what is recommended. Some people, what they do is they even start praying their sunnah, even though the imam started the prayer and the jamaat is praying together. They go in the back and they start praying their sunnah. Even if they miss the whole rak'ah of Fajr, they want to make their sunnah first. And this is what is taught in some madahib. However, it's not the correct ruling. It's not from, because the sunnah is that the Prophet ﷺ, he commanded the sahaba to join the Fard prayer when it's going on. So what one can do, they can simply come and join the jamaat, and then when the imam says taslim, they can stand up and they can pray their sunnah if they want. Or if they want to be on the safe side, they can even wait until after sunrise and make up their sunnah after the sunrise, inshallah ta'ala. So this is the second time that one should not really pray after the Fajr prayer, except to make up something that they missed. Okay? Is that one clear also? That was number 2, right? Number 3, I'll test you on these afterwards. Number 3 The third time when it's prohibited to pray, or the Prophet ﷺ forbade praying, is when the sun is actually, the disk of the sun has risen above the horizon, until the sun is about a spear's length. This is the way that they describe it in the books. One spear's length above the horizon. Some of the ulama, they said it's about the height of a person. So if you're looking out at the horizon, and it's, of course, it's very approximate, but one should not pray as soon as the top of the disk of the sun comes above the horizon, until the sun is above the horizon by the length of what would look like a spear. Or everybody knows what a spear is, right? Or like the height of a man above the horizon. So when it's about that height, they say it's something like 15 minutes or so after sunrise, then one can pray at that time. So here it is. Yes?
It's actually, the sun has to come up first, and once it's at that sphere, it's not a matter of the sun is coming up and you can see that redness is coming up. And like it's on the horizon.
Right.
That's a good time to pray, I guess, right?
If
you are really late.
Yes. Actually, if you're late for the prayer, this is something we spoke about. Making up the prayer, doing the qada, like say you're late for Fajr, once the sun has come up above the horizon, then you have missed the time for Fajr. You have missed the time for Fajr. So now you have to make up your prayer, and making up the prayer should be immediately, as soon as you realize it. So say somebody woke up and the sun is about to rise, they should pray immediately. They should pray it right away. They should not wait. No. You don't wait, because the exception to the rule is like praying makeup prayers. Makeup prayers you can do even when the sun is rising. This is only that's the exception to the general rule. We were going to talk about some of the prayers that are allowed during the prohibited times. So one of those things that are allowed is making up prayers. So if you're going to go and you have to pray your Fajr, but actually the Prophet ﷺ, he said that whoever finishes one whole rak'ah before the sun rises, he's caught the time for Fajr. So actually, if you wake up and the sun is about to rise, you should start your prayer right away. And as long as you finish your first rak'ah before the sun came up, it's actually on time. Yeah, it would be considered within its time. It wouldn't be qada. But if the sun was already partially risen, and then you started, and by the time you finished one rak'ah, the sun was above the horizon, then you missed it. Time for the prayer. It would be considered makeup.
So it's actually, from my understanding, it's when the sun moves above the horizon.
Yes. When the sun moves above the horizon, if one finishes one rak'ah after the sun is above the horizon, then they miss the time for Fajr. Yeah, I think that would be the exact time. When he has to make the one rak'ah as before the sun. Usually the sun rises very quickly. So you would have to, usually you would start, as you see the sun is about to come up, you start your prayer, and you try to finish that before the sun is completely above the horizon. This is the Prophet ﷺ, he said that such a person, he has caught the prayer on time, inshallah ta'ala. Okay, but other than that, like praying Nafl prayer, praying other prayers that shouldn't pray while the sun is rising above the horizon. So when one edge of the disk of the sun comes above the horizon, until the sun is a spear's length above the horizon, one should not pray, normally speaking. You shouldn't pray any other prayers. They started the Fajr before the sun rose, and they're still praying, that's okay. Because you didn't initiate the prayer while the sun is rising. You started it before it rose, and then you happened to be praying, you're finishing the prayer while the sun is rising. And in this case, it would be okay to do that. Because the Prophet ﷺ commanded us to do that. He said, finish one rak'ah before the sun rises. So that would mean, obviously, that your second rak'ah is going to be when the sun is rising. No. Is that clear for that issue? Okay. That's number one?
Three.
That's number three. Right, Ma, you got it? All right. MashaAllah. Number four. Number four is pretty easy. Number four is when the sun is directly above in the sky. When it is straight above. And as I say, those rays of the sun are coming directly on your head. If you can tell. Obviously, you're not going to be able to tell by looking at the sun that it's straight above.
Look so, to see if you get shadows.
That's right. You look at the shadow, and if you notice that the shadow started, what happens is the shadow in the morning, it points towards the west because the sun is in the east. And then when the sun passes the zenith, then the shadow, it goes to the east. So once you see the shadow pointing to the east, now then you know that it's the zenith has passed. But when it's very, very small, like the sun is directly above, the rays of the sun are on one's head, or the shadow has become very, very small, then this time, this zenith time, it is not allowed to pray at that time. This is number four. Right? It's not allowed to pray at that time. And here is something interesting that the scholars they mention, is that on the day of Jummah, on the day of Jummah, the imams, they allow praying at the zenith time. Only on the day of Jummah, the imams, all the imams allow it. And Imam Malik, he says, even on other days, he said it's allowed. He said that. He said it's not makruh, and I don't encourage you to do it, but he said any day you're allowed to do that. Now, why do they say that on the day of Jummah you're allowed to pray even if the sun is at the zenith? There's a hadith that says that the Prophet ﷺ told somebody who came early, he said one should come early and they can keep praying until the imam goes on the minbar. Right? So usually the imam, he'll start the call the adhan, start Jummah right as the dhuhr time comes in, usually speaking. So if you came before dhuhr and you're praying, and then what's going to happen? The sun will be at the zenith until dhuhr time starts. So the ulama, they said because of that text that the Prophet ﷺ said you can keep praying as long as you're waiting for the imam, then it's okay to pray on Jummah even at the zenith time. Even at the zenith time. And this is agreed upon by all the scholars. That it's okay on the day of Jummah. The other days, then they say you shouldn't do that on the other days. But Imam Malik, he said, praying at the zenith time, he was more lenient with it. He said, if it's allowed on Jummah, then it's allowed on any day. What's the difference? You know, they're all the days of the week. But he said, I don't tell you to pray at that time, and I don't tell you not to pray at that time. He just said, just leave it open. It's the Prophet ﷺ, he didn't forbid those people to pray just before the Jummah prayer. Okay? Is that clear, Brother Mawad? MashaAllah. Good, good. Alhamdulillah. What number was that? Number four? Oh, okay. Following, MashaAllah. Alhamdulillah. Okay. Number... the prohibited prayer time, number five. Probably most of you know this one, which is when the sun, actually after Asr prayer. It's more general than that. Because the Prophet ﷺ, he said, La Salah, no prayer after Asr. No prayer after Asr. So actually here, for number five, they say that when one finished praying Asr, until the sun completely sets, it's disliked to pray during that time. Now, and oh, I forgot to mention, by the way, this is an important point, that all seven of these times, they're not all the same in terms of how disliked or how haram they are. They're not all the same. Some of them are makruh, dislike. Some of them are very strongly prohibited. Right? So, like for example, praying when the sun is at the zenith, it's not that strong of a prohibition. As much as when the sun is rising, right at the time when it's rising, right at the time when it's setting, that's a very, very stronger prohibition, those two times. But for example, praying after the sunnah of Fajr until Fajr prayer, it's not really that strong of a prohibition. It's more of dislike, and only some of the imams, they said that. So, you know, praying after Asr, and then we have that's number five, and number six is when the sun is, the orb, the circle of the sun is going down below the horizon. They're two separate times. That's because after Asr, there's some dislike, but some of the imams even, they allowed some nafl as long as the sun didn't turn yellow. Some of them, they allowed that. So it's not really that much of a strong prohibition after Asr. But when it get when the sun reaches the horizon, this is number six, when the sun it actually reaches and it goes below its setting, then it's considered strongly forbidden to pray at that time. Okay? So that's number six after Asr. And number seven is when that's number five is after Asr. Right, Maud? You're counting, right? Number six is as the sun is setting. So what's number seven? What is the last time when? Is there any time, other time you can think where it's the Prophet ﷺ forbade us to pray?
When
you're close. You're close.
The one before Maghrib.
Before Maghrib? Okay. Yes. When there's another prayer that's required at that time, you could say that, but this is not really one of the categories. But say that you only have 10 minutes left for Isha. It's almost Fajr time. Or not even 10 minutes. Say you just have a few minutes left for Isha and it's almost Fajr time. So then of course it wouldn't, not only would it be makruh to pray at that time, it would be haram to pray any prayers other than the fard prayer at that time. So that would be that is one. But actually the one that's close to what you said, what about during the khutbah of Jummah? During the khutbah of Jummah. During the khutbah of Jummah, you're not really supposed to stand up and start praying nafl prayers. But there is one exception that some of the ulama, they made this exception. They said if you enter the masjid to pray two quick light rakas. There is a hadith that the Prophet ﷺ, when a person came in at the time and he was giving the khutbah himself, the man just came in and sat down, and the sahabi, the Prophet ﷺ, he said, "Did you pray two rakas?" He said, "No." He said, "Stand up and pray two rakas and be light in them." You want to read like, you know, Surah Al-Baqarah, long surah, it's very light, and sit down. Why is this allowed? Some of the imams, they said that you have two conflicting issues here. One is listening to the khutbah, which is greatly rewarded, right? But also there's a great reward for greeting the masjid and respect for the hurmah of the masjid. So these two issues, you have to try to reconcile the two of them. So then they say that it's allowed to pray very lightly and then go and hasten to hear the khutbah, inshaAllah ta'ala. This is a view of some of the imams, except Imam Malik. Imam Malik, he said that it's disliked to pray during the khutbah, even the greeting of the masjid. He said, just go and sit down during the khutbah. No.
Yes. He's asking a few questions. She told her
to tell
the people that they can't pray.
No.
I said, why does she say that?
Yes.
Because the Rasul was giving it to the family member.
No.
He stopped it to
go. No.
To pray.
the right of the masjid, yes.
Yes, yeah, so I can't remember what
it
is, but I'm going to give you
an answer. Yes, there is a...
So
there is
I can go and look at it, and call her up. Give her the Hadith number, I said, look at it, and she said, from there now on, she goes in my gift. You know, sometimes you go to work, you only...
Yes.
Two guys there. So now she said, you go to pray.
Alhamdulillah. Yes. There's the right of the masjid, and then there's the right of the dhikr of Allah, and to listen to the khutbah. Of course, the best thing, as you all know, that come before the time of Jummah.
But
coming before, then you know they get the angels. They write down the names before the person the khutbah starts. No. Alhamdulillah. Okay, so this is number 7, inshallah ta'ala. So the praying during the time of the Jummah, khutbah, inshallah ta'ala. Alright, there was one other question that came up. Is it okay if we answer real quickly?
Yeah.
I think somebody asked last week about praying the greeting of the masjid during one of the prohibited times. You know, the greeting of the masjid that we just talked about on Jummah. What about, yeah, the two rak'ahs when we enter the masjid. What about after Asr prayer? Or after? Usually not too common, like after Fajr prayer, but after Asr prayer usually. People walk in before Maghrib, a few minutes before Maghrib. What is the, is this allowed or not allowed to pray the greeting of the masjid? And here actually this issue is not as easy to answer as it might seem. It's not a very simple, easy answer. The reason is you have two seemingly contradictory hadith. You have two seemingly contradictory hadith. One hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, La salah, there's no prayer after Asr. Right? It's a very general statement. There's no prayer. And he set the time, specified the time after Asr. Right? So this is a general statement. Then you have another hadith where the Prophet ﷺ, he said, if you enter the masjid, then pray two rak'ahs. Okay? So one hadith is saying, don't pray. One of them is saying, pray. One of them is saying, when you enter the masjid, pray two rak'ahs. So this is very general. And it's saying, pray the greeting of the masjid. The other hadith is saying, don't pray when? After Asr. Okay, so these two hadith, they seem to kind of, how would you say, do they kind of contradict each other, right? It would seem that you cannot reconcile the two hadith. So this is the issue that the scholars, they had to try to come to an understanding. So may Allah give us the understanding. Let me give you the issue. Right? It's just like, say you enter the masjid, and there's two signs. One of them says, do not pray after Asr. And there's another sign that says, when you enter the masjid, pray two rak'ahs. Right? So now what do you do? Does that seem like this is one of the issue that we're looking at. Flip a coin. The ulama, they try to always look for a solution. Subhanallah. For us, maybe somebody he can do that, you know. But the ulama, what happens is that because there's two texts, somebody comes in and they pray after Asr. Two people. One of them, he comes in and he sits down. And his friend, he comes in and he prays two rak'ahs. Right? So the one who prayed, he says to the one who sat down, why did you sit down? He said, didn't you hear the Prophet ﷺ said, don't pray after us. And the one who sat down, he asked the one who prayed, he said, why did you pray? He said, didn't you hear the Prophet ﷺ say, when you enter the masjid, pray two rak'ahs. So each one of them has an evidence. And here what the scholar says is that no one of them has a right to criticize the other. No one should argue with the other person. Because he's following one text, and the other person is also following an authentic. And both of the hadith are very, very authentic, like mountains. They said very, very strong hadith. So for the two people who do that, there's no harm either which one they follow. But having said that, some of the ulama, they wanted to see which one is stronger, which one is more authentic, or which one is more, not more authentic, but which one should be. Because the two hadith are equal to each other, one cannot, you know, override the other. So they look for another evidence, like another hadith. Like you have two things that are equal on a scale, so you kind of look for something else that will make one of the two sides heavier. Right? You have like a, you're trying to make a decision, and you have two options in front of you, both of them seem equal to you, right? So then you try to research it more to make one of the two sides a little bit more heavier so that you can make the ruling. So this is what one of the scholars, he did, Mailab Nursianam. It was very amazing, the proof that he came up with. The proof that he came up with is when we talk about Ramadan, right? And Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, whoever is fasting or he's traveling, then let him make it up from other days, right? This is what Allah says. If whoever is traveling or fasting, then make it up from the other days. And here in the other days could be any day throughout the year. Any day throughout the year. But when you look, are we allowed to fast on the 2 days of Eid? The Eid days, we're not allowed to fast on the Eid days. But didn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, make it up from any other day?
Yeah.
He said, make it up any other day. But there's another text that said, don't fast on the days of Eid. So somebody, he'll come and say, he's fasting on Eid. He say, didn't Allah say you can make it up any other day? But then you say, no, he didn't allow us to fast on the days of Eid. Right? So here, the scholar Ibn Abdullah, he said, the same way is the prayer, the greeting of the masjid. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, when you enter the masjid, pray two rakats. But then there are certain specific times where he forbade the praying. So we should give the prohibition the stronger, the more strength. We should give that, we should go by the prohibition. And also the reason he gave is that the Prophet ﷺ, he was very strict when it came to prohibitions. He said, if I forbid you from something, don't do it. And if I command you to do something, do it as much as you can. So when it came to prohibition, he said, don't do it. But when he commands us to do something, then we should try to do it as much as we can. So this is how one of the scholars, Ibn Abdul-Bahr, he said, it's better to avoid it. It's better to avoid it. And he gave another example. He said that if you have something encouraged, you have something that's being encouraged and something that's forbidden. Right? Is it better to do the thing that's forbidden or to leave the thing that's encouraged? Right? When you have either you're going to do something that is prohibited or you're going to leave out something good. Which one is better? Leaving out something good, is there any harm in that? No harm in that, right? But doing something forbidden, there's harm in that, right? So they say it's better to avoid some reward you might get. It's better to miss out on that than doing something in a prohibited time. You see that principle. Another example they give is they say preventing harm comes before bringing some kind of benefit. Preventing something bad comes before making something beneficial. Like the Prophet ﷺ, when he was fasting, he used to encourage gargling the water when you're fasting. Oh, not when you're fasting, sorry. When you make wudu, it's a sunnah to gargle the water. And I'm sorry, and also sniff up the water in the nose. But he said, but when he was fasting, he wouldn't do that. When he was fasting, he wouldn't go to exaggeration and sniffing the water. And the reason was, is when you sniff the water, sometimes you end up swallowing it. So sniffing the water, is it something good? Sniffing the water to clean the nose out and clean... It is something good, right? But if it could lead to something bad, right, by going and swallowing it, it's better to leave it out altogether. Right? That's what the Prophet ﷺ did. So they say preventing the harm takes precedence over bringing some kind of benefit. Right? Is that, that's a logical rule. So entering the masjid, this is the logic that the scholars made. When you enter the masjid, praying the two rak'ahs is a benefit, right? Something good to greet the masjid. But the harm is praying during a prohibited time. And so the prohibition overtakes the encouragement. I don't know if that was, that made sense. But these Alhamdulillah, you got it? So which one is the stronger view? Should we pray after the greeting of the masjid after Asr? I think we lost Mahan. Praying after Asr is considered disliked, right? Makruh? Yeah, right? That's one of the times where it's makruh for the brothers, yeah, brother just came. It's makruh to pray after Asr, right? But when we enter the masjid, the Prophet ﷺ encouraged greeting the masjid. So the ulama, they said, how do we reconcile these two hadith? One hadith says, don't pray after Asr. One hadith says, pray two rak'ahs anytime you enter the masjid. So some ulama, they said, we should pray two rak'ahs when we enter the masjid. It's an exception to the rule. And some ulama said, you don't pray when you enter the masjid after Asr, because that time is an exception to the rule. So some scholars, they made the prayer of two rak'ahs an exception to the rule when entering the masjid. And some scholars, they made the entering the masjid an exception to the rule of not praying after us. Right? So they each have a text and they have a proof. And we were saying, like, if you have two signs on the wall, one says, don't pray after Asr. And there's another sign that says, pray two rak'ahs when you enter the masjid. So when somebody walks in, he sees both the signs, he walks in after Asr, how does he know what to do? So then what we were discussing is that the scholar said that you give weight to the prohibition. Some of the ulama said the prohibition takes over the commandment. Because just like fasting, Allah says, make up the days after Ramadan, but we don't make them up during Eid, during the days of Eid. So even though Allah said, make up the days any other day after Ramadan, but then the prohibition has more weight than the general text that says make it up after Ramadan. So this is the view of one of the scholars, Ibn Abdul Barr, may Allah have mercy on him. But in any case, each view has its adillah, has its proofs, inshallah ta'ala. So I promised the brothers to make it short today. So is there any questions? Is there any questions or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure. This is out of the context a little.
Okay.
Bit,
sure.
As you mentioned it, you can't fast on the day of Eid.
Yes.
On the day of Eid, does it consider the 3 days or just the special, the first day?
I believe. I believe it's the first day, the only the day of Adha, Eid al-Adha, and the day of Eid al-Fitr. Those are considered the days of Eid. The other days that many we celebrate is not religiously mandated. But it's not that depends on the culture. You know, that they'll celebrate the Eid more than one day. But the actual day of Eid is just the first of Shawwal, the day after Ramadan, and the 10th of Dhul-Hijjah. The 10th of Dhul-Hijjah, the Hajj, the day after Arafah. So those are the 2 days of Eid. Praying during the 3 days after the day of Eid al-Adha, the day for the Eid of Hajj, that's considered also prohibited.
Fasting.
I'm sorry, did I say praying fasting? No, we should fast. Alhamdulillah, no, praying, we had fasting on those days is considered prohibited. Even so, the day of Eid al-Adha, the 10th of Dhul-Hijjah, and the 3 days afterwards, so it's four in total, it's not allowed to pray during those days. So there's 4 days for Eid al-Adha on the Hajj, and 1 day for the Ramadan, after Ramadan, there's 1 day. Then after that, you can even start fasting, like the 6 days of Shawwal, you can start fasting them right away. When it comes to fasting after Eid al-Adha, the 11th, 12th, 13th, the only exception, the Prophet ﷺ allowed the people on Hajj, if they did a mistake in the Hajj, sometimes you have to fast, so he allowed them to fast during those days. But for other people, they shouldn't really fast during those days, inshallah. That's a very good question. Alhamdulillah. Okay, there was one other issue we were talking about the exception to the rule of praying after Asr and after Fajr. There are a few other prayers that are allowed. So if you want, we can mention those briefly, inshallah.
We take a break first.
Okay, sure. Yeah, let's take a break, inshallah. Jazakallah khair. And inshallah, may Allah reward you, brothers, inshallah. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Salatu wassalam ala rasulil kareem. Allahumma zidna ilma wa faqiyana fi deen. Welcome back to all of you for part 2 on the lesson of the prohibited prayer times. And alhamdulillah, we're continuing on the commentary of the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. There is no prayer after the morning, the subah, and there's no prayer after the asr, al-asr. Okay, so here the majority of the ulama, what we mentioned previously, the jumhur, majority of the ulama, they say there is no prayer after asr, meaning that none of the prayers are allowed. Any type of prayer, none of them are allowed, such as greeting the masjid, even that is not allowed. Any of the sunan, except for certain exceptions. And the proof, one of the proofs they use is that Umar radiallahu anhu entered the masjid and somebody was praying after asr. So Umar, he hit that person. He said, "What are you doing? Why are you praying after asr?" And so suddenly Ba'd al-Asr, so he didn't allow anybody to pray after the Asr prayer. This is what the majority they say. And they say, La Salata Ba'd al-Asr is generic in its meaning, and one is not allowed to pray except certain special prayers, which we'll talk about. When there's a specific text, there's a specific hadith that says, pray this prayer after Asr. And for example, the janazah, there's specific text that says pray the janazah. Or for example, they allow the eclipse prayer. For example, when the eclipse takes place, they allow it, things like that. Imam Shafi'i, he allows any prayer that has a cause, that has a cause related to the time of the prayer. He allows it even after Asr. So what does it mean that the prayer has a cause? What he means is that prayer, either there's some action or event that takes place that necessitates the prayer right away. Right? Or there is an event that takes place and coincides with the time of prayer. Or there's an action, there's a prayer that takes place and it's followed by a certain action. These are the three typical ways that certain prayers are. So let me give you some examples. For example, an event that requires prayer afterwards, tawaf, for example. Making tawaf, when you finish 7 times, what is the sunnah to pray? 2 rak'ahs. So the Imam Shafi'i said this prayer, it has a cause, you should pray it right away. In fact, all the ulama, they allow it, because there is a text that the Prophet ﷺ, he said, so the people who are taking care of the Kaaba do not prevent anybody from making tawaf or making prayer. So that because of that text, the scholars say that one can always pray the two rakahs of the tawaf, even if it's after asr prayer. And another example is the two rakahs of wudu. Two rakahs of wudu, it has a cause, right? So you do that to the wudu, then it causes you to need to make two rakahs. So Imam Shafi, he allowed the two rakahs of wudu even after asr. What about the jumhur? The majority of scholars, they said no. They said no. Also, like for example, the two rakahs of entering the masjid, which we already spoke about. Imam Shafi, he said, you have a cause. You enter the masjid, you need to pray two rakahs. So he said, go ahead, you can pray the two rakahs. Jumhur, they said, no. Also, when certain events, you have to pray at the same time of the event. For example, eclipse. When the eclipse is taking place, we are supposed to pray during the eclipse. We can't wait till after to do the eclipse. We cannot wait till afterwards. So, we can pray during that time. During the time, we can pray, even if it's after us. And what about the, there's certain events that we pray before doing that event. Like for example, before we put on ihram, we pray two rakahs before we put on ihram, right? So here, what Imam Shafi, he said, you should delay that until after sunset. If you want to put on ihram, wait till after sunset, then pray two rakahs, then put on your ihram. So this is the view of the Shafi'i school, that if it has a cause, either before it or during it, then you pray it, even in the prohibited times. But if it has a cause that you pray after, you pray it and then the thing happens, the event happens after it. Like for example, you pray the two rakahs of the ihram, then you put on the ihram. He said you wait till after Maghrib. I hope that is clear, inshallah. So anyways, this is the view of the Shafi'i school. So basically we can summarize it by saying that when it comes to praying the general nafl prayer after the after asr or the prohibited times, then the Shafi'i school, it only allows it if there is a cause for that prayer. And the cause has to either take place before the prayer or during the prayer. Before the prayer, like entering the masjid, then you pray. Or during the prayer is like, which prayer? The eclipse prayer, right? When there's an eclipse, Imam Shafi said you pray during the eclipse. The janazah, then all the ulama, they also said you can pray janazah. What about the tawaf? You do the tawaf and you pray two rakahs after. All of them are not allowed that because there's a text that the Prophet ﷺ, he said, do not prevent anybody from praying or making tawaf any hour of the day or the night in the haram of Mecca, inshallah. Okay. Let's see if there's anything else on this issue. We already talked about on the day of Jummah. We can normally it's not allowed to pray when the sun is at the zenith, but on the day of Jummah, then all of the imams said it's allowed to pray at that time, because the Prophet he mentioned about Sahabi when he enters the masjid early for Jummah to keep praying until the imam goes on the minbar. So that would mean if he came before dhuhr, he's going to keep praying two rakahs even if it's at the zenith until the imam goes on the minbar. And all of the imams, they allow that. Imam Malik, he said, even on the other days, there's no strong prohibition for it. Okay. Any questions up to you? Okay, now we said that also, this is the issue. I don't know if the brothers, all the brothers were here, is that when you, the Prophet prohibited praying after Asr, and he also commanded praying when you enter the masjid. Right? So we had like a conflict between the two hadith, what it would appear to be a conflict. When you enter the masjid, pray, and don't pray after Asr. So how do you reconcile the two hadith? Does anybody remember? Does anybody remember from the beginning part of the halakha?
Yeah.
Which side do we give more weight? Don't pray or pray?
Don't pray.
Don't pray, right? Because they gave the example of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, make up your fasting fi ayyam and ukhar, any other day. But then he said, don't fast on the days of Eid, the Prophet said. So the day, the prohibition takes over the command. The prohibition is given more strength. I mean, and this is when you look at it from a logical point of view, that if you want to prohibit when a person, when two things are, one is command and one is prohibition, or one is makruh and one is mustahab. And so they say, darar al mafasid muqaddam ala jalb al musalih. Preventing a harm comes before attaining some benefit. Preventing a harm comes before attaining benefit. And so, for example, sniffing the water and exaggerating in it, it's a benefit. It cleans out, and the scholars, they say that it is very beneficial to removing the dust that the filters of the nose absorb, the mucus, it cleans it all out. But we don't do it when we're fasting. The Prophet says something, he didn't do it when he was fasting, because it could lead to breaking the fast, it could harm the fast. So preventing harm comes before attaining benefit, the same way we have for the entering the masjid prayer, inshallah. Question from the sisters, are women allowed to pray the janazah? Are women allowed to pray the janazah? So the answer is yes, the women are commanded to pray the janazah, or they're allowed to do it. And the wives of the Prophet, they prayed janazah for the Prophet. So we have texts that the women, they did pray the janazah. And so the men and the women, they are both encouraged to do that. Of course, even if you go to Hajj or Umrah, almost after every prayer, if anybody's been there, after almost every prayer there's a janazah. And everybody, the men and the women, they pray on the janazah. So the women, they are allowed to pray the janazah. And generally speaking, men and women are equal in all acts of worship unless there's a specific text. Every act of worship that's commanded for the men is commanded for the women unless there's a specific text that says women shouldn't perform a certain act of worship. So men and women, they're equal in that, inshallah. For women, it's good for them to pray the janazah also. Of course, in the lines behind the men, inshallah. And it's good to learn how to pray the janazah. A lot of women, they don't know how to pray the janazah, so it's good for them to learn the fiqh of the janazah, inshallah. Maybe we'll cover that in the future. Is there any questions from anybody have, inshallah? You can make it general also. The sisters also, if you have any question, you can ask, inshallah. Can be related to the fifth of the prayer, or it could be on other subjects too. Inshallah. Okay. When you're entering the haram, is it better to pray the two rakahs or pray the or do the tawaf? Right? Is that the question? When we enter the haram, do we pray two rakahs? How long is it mean? I know for Masjid Nabawi, of course, the best thing when we enter, we pray the Tahiyyatul Masjid before anything. Entering the Haram, right.
Yeah.
Go there for the Salah. There's the issue: is what is better, Tawaf or Salah? What is better, Tawaf or Salah in the Haram? So generally speaking, yes, the ulama say the Tawaf is better for those who are outsiders. Those who are outsiders is better to make the law. Why? Can you make the law anywhere else in the world? You shouldn't. Some people do, but they shouldn't do that. They have the graves and other things. Even I heard they built their own Kaaba in certain countries. Yeah, subhanAllah. But actually it's only, the Tawaf is only around the Kaaba. And subhanAllah, the Prophet he forbade, he said, Ya Abdul Manaf, which is a tribe that would take care of the Kaaba, he said, do not prevent anyone at any time of the day or night making the Tawaf or the Salah in the Haram. So, due to this, the scholars say, any time, day or night, if you do the Tawaf, you pray the two rakats. Even if it's after Asr, after Fajr, pray two rakats. And also you can do the Tawaf day or night. So if somebody's a foreigner, and they come to the Haram, so actually the ulama say it's better, the Tawaf is more virtuous than the Salah, than the Nawafah Salah. The Nawafah Tawaf is more virtuous than the Nawafah Salah in the Haram. If somebody lives in Mecca, then they say the prayer is more virtuous than the Tawaf. Because the Prophet ﷺ, he said that the prayer in the Haram is 100,000 times the prayer anywhere else. So that's the, as far as I know, on the issue. InshaAllah ta'ala. So, JazakAllah khair for the question. Anybody else have any question? InshaAllah. So, 1 minute and 30 seconds. Anybody have that? Any issue doesn't have to be on the Salah. It could be on the prayer times, the prohibited times. The is that clear though? And just so that this issue doesn't come up, and because a lot of people are asking, when I come in the masjid before Maghrib, should I pray Tahiyatul Masjid or not? So yes. No. Well, Shaykh Ibn Baz, he said there's no basis for it. He said there's no basis for it. The hadith that talks about it, it's a weak hadith. And the form of the prayer, the fuqaha said, is very strange that we don't find any other prayer like this. And if it was something that the Prophet ﷺ taught the Sahaba, there would be more than one narration about it. So just the one hadith that is a weak hadith that talks about it. So Shaykh Ibn Baz, he says that it's not legislated. The Salat of the Sabbath. The way they pray it is you say Allahu Akbar, and then you say Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah for a certain number of times. And this is not, this is not found in. No. So that, yes. So that particular salah, you don't find it, that style of dhikr, in any other prayer. So Allahu Alam, Shaykh Ibn Baz said there's no basis for it. I don't know if that's
a little bit.
Is there any questions? Yes.
If the day of Arafat will fall on Friday,
no.
Is there a different degree of Hajj, or is it equivalent to any other?
They call it Hajj al-Aqdam. But as far as I know, there's no particular virtue, special virtue for that Hajj. As far as I know, there's no particular virtue on that Hajj. Actually, some people call Hajj al-Aqdam, but I don't believe the ulama call it any special name or special virtue. The only difference is that the Jummah prayer becomes optional. Because if you have the... this is the day of Eid, I'm sorry. Day of Eid, if you have Eid coinciding with Jummah, then the Salat and Jummah is optional. For Yom Al-Arafah, happening on Friday, it's the virtue of 2 days, right? You have the virtue of Yom Al-Jummah, and he had the virtue of Yom Ha'arafah. So they're both on one particular day. But I don't know of any narrations that say specifically of any ritual about Hajj. Definitely that day would have the two virtues. The virtue of being the day of Arafah and the day of being the day of Jumu'ah. Good question about that. Any other questions?
Why is Umar in your mind? Did you know? Did you know him?
No. It's a good question. I don't know the whole background of the hadith, but Umar was the one who he was very upright, and he wouldn't press anybody wrongfully. He wouldn't do anything that was wrongful. So he's a Khalifa. So you know that was his way of warning the person from doing a kind of action.
Probably it could be leading to
people
see that he's
carrying. The Zakabakhiya, another word about it. Actually, the commentators, they say that. Well, it wasn't that he was just praying that. What Umar's, in his foresight, what he feared is that people would start praying until the sunset. And then they would be praying during the sunset, and that was something that's strongly prohibited. So in his foresight, you know, in order to prevent it to lead to that extent, you know, he wanted to stop it, you know, and started right from the beginning, before it reached to that point. So, SubhanAllah. Now, very good question. Do you have someone? Any other questions? Allah reward you. Jazakallah khairan. Sallallahu ala Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallah khairan.